Hi, I'm Dave Patnaik, and I'd like to tell you about my new book, Wired to Care, How Companies Prosper When They Create Widespread Empathy. We've been talking in this podcast series about what empathy is and how you can use it to connect with people outside of your company. You know, empathy on an individual level is the ability to step outside of yourself and walk in someone else's shoes. For a company, empathy is the ability to get outside of your offices and outside of your building to really have a deep connection with the folks who ultimately buy your products and services, to intuitively get what keeps them up at night. You know, creating that sense of widespread empathy on some level ought to be fairly simple. It's, you know, we're all born with the ability to connect with other people. All of us as human beings are inherently wired to care. The challenge, though, is to try and help a company to do that on a widespread level. And that's something that's a little bit more complicated. And the companies that do it well have an ability to make sure that everyone in an organization has that deep connection. In the book, we talk about Harley Davidson. And Harley is a great example of a company that really gets Harley riders. And they talk about them as riders, not just customers. Because as one executive at Harley said to me, you know, we are them and they are us. Because the folks inside of Harley are Harley riders too. And so when they come up with new products and services, they're not doing something for somebody else, some unknown face out in the world. They're doing it for people who they have a deep connection with because they themselves are those folks. So how do you create that widespread sense of empathy? Well, it starts with making sure that everyone in an organization has that deep intuitive connection. In looking for a great example of organizations that were able to get everyone working in the same direction, we came across Springfield Remanufacturing Corporation. And SRC is based in Springfield, Missouri. And back in the mid-80s, it was turned around by a guy named Jack Stack. Jack and his team of managers actually bought the company back from International Harvester, or what was then Navistar. And they said, you know, we're going to turn this company around and we're going to try and, you know, make it financially successful. The problem was that this little factory in Springfield was losing money hand over fist. And so they very quickly needed to find a way to get everybody knowing how they could actually save money and make the company profitable. So Jack and his team did something that had never been done before. He took everybody at SRC, everyone in the entire company, and he sent them to accounting school for a couple of days. He literally sent everyone from HR to design to product development to a class to learn what a profit and loss statement was, to learn what a balance sheet was, and to really understand what the company finances were all about. And then he took all of the company's finances and he put them up on the walls. He put them in the break rooms. He put them in the hallways and he shared them with everybody in the organization. And suddenly something really interesting happened. Everybody in the company had an intuitive gut sense about where the money was flowing. So even a worker on the shop floor knew that if he changed the way he was machining a part, it would save him X amount of time, and that would mean he could do that many more parts that day, and he could look up in the wall and see how much that would actually affect his bonus at the end of the quarter. You know, getting everybody in an organization to have an intuitive sense about the bottom line is, you know, wasn't something that just helped SRC. It created a mini revolution for business, something that was turned into open book management, which said if you wanted to manage the company better, you just needed to open up the books of the company and let everybody understand the finances. It got us thinking about saying, you know, so if that's a great way to improve the bottom line, is there a way to help folks improve the top line? And so we started thinking perhaps there are open empathy organizations out there in the world, the kind of places that have that intuitive gut sense. Places like Harley Davidson, you know, have that sense of riders across the board. And there are things that folks can do to make sure that systemically across the board, everyone has that that basic connection. So we like to talk about it in three simple rules, which is if you want to create that widespread sense of empathy, you know, make it easy, make it every day, and make it experiential. You know, what I mean, make it easy. Folks are really busy, and when you hear about things like saying we need more empathy, the temptation is to say, you know, let's get everybody out there in the world, or let's get all of our employees to like man the phones for 2 hours a week, so they can listen to the customer service calls. And I think the intention is good, but folks are really busy and doing things, you know, doing new initiatives that actually create a whole lot of work for people isn't actually going to help them get their day job done. So if there's things that we could do to actually make it easy for folks, that would be a whole lot better. Simple things. You know, at Target in Minneapolis, at their corporate headquarters, there's a Target store right across the street. So anybody who works at Target isn't that far away from an actual store. I've been surprised with how many retailers I visit that don't have a store within miles of them that they can actually visit to see what's going on. Target's really different for that. You can also make it an everyday experience. At Nike, if you visit their offices in Beaverton, Oregon, the place looks like a college campus without the classrooms. It looks like they left just the buildings and all of the sports fields. And there's a running track that runs around the entire campus of Nike. And every building is named after a different sports hero. So there's the Mia Hamm building and the Tiger Woods Center and the Michael Jordan building. And if you go into the Mia Hamm building, it's kind of a temple to soccer or football, as it's called in most of the world. And rather than naming, you know, different wings of the building, Wing A and Wing B and Wing C, you know, they named them after different stadiums. So there's the Wembley Wing and the Maracanã Wing after that famous football stadium in Brazil. And if you have a cubicle in the Maracanã Wing, you don't just have cubicle X41D. Your cubicle is on an aisle named after a famous athlete. So you may have your cubicle on Diego Maradona Way, and your mailbox is Maradona 72. There's just simple ways to remind you every single day about what's important to the folks who actually use Nike's products. Finally, you want to try and make it experiential for folks. You want to make it so that it's something that you live and see every day. And the best example of that I can think of is Smith & Hawken. Smith & Hawken is a beloved retailer of garden equipment and seeds and garden tools. And one of the simple things that they do is to have a garden outside of their building. And they encourage Smith & Hawken employees to take a plot of that garden and do some gardening themselves. So by making it easy, by making it everyday, and making it experiential, it's a way to create the kind of organization that has a widespread sense of empathy. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you check out Wired to Care. It's available at a bookstore near you. Thanks.